Welcome in to Locked On Nets. On today's show, me and Marcus will have some banter, and we'll also have our interview with Christian Winfield of SB Nation. He's a big Nets fan and a great guy to have on the pod, and I think you'll enjoy hearing from him.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to Locked On Nets. I'm your host, Josh Bass. And joining me, as always, is my good buddy and my co-host, Marcus Barahal. Marcus, we just had a great interview with Christian Winfield of SB Nation.
Josh, it was great, but I think the listeners haven't heard it yet. I think it's coming up. So to the listeners, it will be great. I promise.
Yeah, I love recording. Like, you've already recorded a segment, and then you're recording the intro to it, but we get into a lot of great topics with Christian, including judging Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson, where the Nets stand versus the Knicks, ranking the young players on both teams. But
we talk vegan food.
Yeah, talk vegan food. The Nets had a huge win against the Sacramento Kings. Marcus, I know you were traveling, so you didn't see it, but 29-point thrashing of Sacramento. Fourth quarter outscored them 30-9. D'Angelo Russell, 31 points, his second game in a row with 7-plus threes. He was huge in this game. Rhodey Kurucz was as well, with 16 points on 7 of 10 shooting. Beef Jerky Joe had 19. And Marcus, it's really all coming together for this Nets team.
Yeah. Like you mentioned, I didn't watch the full game, but I did watch the highlights. And D'Lo just looks so confident right now. I mean, you see it on his drives when he's head faking and kind of throwing a bunch of ball fakes on passes. I felt like half of his made baskets on drives were plays where he kind of faked kicking it out to shooters and then went up. But the Nets are playing with a ton of confidence as a team, and hopefully it carries over. We've got a big game against the Magic, but after that, an even bigger game against the New York Knicks and Gavin Shaw.
Yeah, and I think me and you are going to play Alex Wolf and Gavin in 2-on-2, just to also simulate that. But yeah, Nets had a fourth win in a row. The main event here is really that interview with Christian, but obviously good to see the Nets, again, just dripping with confidence. Great games from a lot of their young players, but without further ado, we will get to our interview with Christian Winfield. And now joining Marcus and I, we have Christian Winfield from SB Nation. Christian, thanks for joining the pod.
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
We're good, man. We're good and having some great basketball in Brooklyn. I don't think anyone would have thought it, but now the Nets have won four straight games and an epic win over the Sacramento Kings, which I know you covered and were at the game. And really the catalyst behind this recent stretch has been D'Angelo Russell. I don't know if you expected this ascent from D'Lo, but now it seems like he's kind of at the threshold of being an all-star. What do you think his chances are, and has his play surprised you?
You know, I think that at the beginning of the season, if you would have asked me that, I would have said no. I wasn't expecting this type of breakout season where he's having 30, 40 point games. But you know, when you look across the board at everyone, when you see Joe Harris is improving, when you see Spencer Dinwiddie as the most improved player candidate last year, I think he placed third. When you look at how Jared Allen is now a shot blocker, he's blocking all these stars. And you look at D'Angelo Russell, it's a testament to how the Nets player development staff is really just taking these guys and really bringing the best out of them. We're seeing another level of D'Angelo Russell. We're seeing a guy who we all knew the court vision was there if you watched him at Ohio State and you saw some of the passes he was making there. But he's making some incredible reads on certain plays. I think Joe Harris said, you know, he throws guys open. And that's just half of his game. The other half is the way he's taking guys off the dribble. He's shooting threes like they're layups. I mean, I didn't expect to see this type of D'Angelo Russell come out. I didn't know what to expect. But he's really playing some of the best basketball of his life. All-star consideration is going to come down to how the voters view wins and losses, because there's a lot of teams that are losing that have all-star caliber players. You look at a team like Detroit, they've got Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. You know Blake Griffin is going to get an all-star night. You look at Bradley Beal in Washington, their record is 6 games below 500, but some people are talking about Bradley Beal might be an all-star starter. You never know. You know, you got a couple teams out there that are going to get guys sneaking into the all-star game just because of solo numbers versus their individual record, but I think that D'Angelo Russell sneaks in with one of those last picks. I also think it might end up being a toss-up because some guys view Spencer Dinwiddie as an all-star as well, even though his numbers have tapered off while D'Angelo Russell's have climbed up. So they might end up splitting some votes, and that might cost D'Angelo Russell. But I think that Russell has as good a chance to sneak in with one of those last All-Star picks as anybody else.
Yeah, it's crazy what he's doing, because he's just pulling up from three, like regardless of if a defender's in his face or not, just no airspace. And his shot just kind of floats through the air and just goes through the net, swish every time.
Right.
It's crazy to see like some of these games against the Kings and the Magic. Like, he's just dripping. It's unconscious how he's scoring the basketball.
You know I gauge his play based on how Laker fans are feeling about the trade in respect, and they are very, very sick right now. So I think D'Angelo Russell is doing a pretty good job.
Christian, just a quick follow up on that. D'Lo, like you and Josh have both been saying, has been playing with a ton of confidence lately, and I think that's been evident on his drives to the basket. The one area where he still hasn't really picked it up is his free throw shooting. Do you think that that's an aspect where he should still be looking to improve, or is that kind of an extra at this point? Like, is he playing so well that it doesn't matter?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think everyone should probably strive to be as good a free throw shooter as he can, because if not, you're just kind of like leaving points at the line and you're really doing your team a disservice. But I think that's something he could work on, you know what I'm saying, maybe over the summer. You know, mm-hmm. I think right now, just, you know, being the leader of this team, especially when Caris LeVert goes down and somebody has to step up, and first it's Spencer Dinwiddie, and then you see Spencer Dinwiddie take over, and then you see him get this contract, and then you just see D'Angelo Russell emerge as a leader, as a scorer, you know what I'm saying, as everything that this Nets team expected him to be. I think it's just his job right now to steer this ship to the playoffs, you know, and if he can successfully steer that ship, he can worry about free throws in the offseason. He can worry about free throws if A, he misses them in the playoffs at a crucial moment, and B, when he has some time over the summer. You know, I think that in the pecking order of things he needs to work on, obviously free throws are there, but there's a good deal of things that he's doing right and he's doing well to where that's something he could work on, you know, when the season's over.
Yeah, absolutely. Marcus, I think that he's not getting to the line really, and that's still a big weakness of his game, but until he drops below his current like toward 3-point pace, then it might be a problem. But until then, you know, let's ride the good wave. And Marcus,
if he's gonna make 7 threes a game, I don't think
we're chilling. Absolutely.
And I think to touch on the whole free throw shooting, that actually goes back to another aspect of his game, which is, you know, getting around defenders, and that's an area D'Angelo Russell has to find a way to improve, because he's not the quickest guy. You know, he gets to the line, he gets to the rim just by nature of being crafty and being able to, you know, deceive his man into making a move and then going the other way. But I think that's going to be something that's going to be difficult to work on, because you can't really teach speed. You know, you can't really teach someone to be quicker. But I think if D'Angelo Russell finds ways to get to the line a little bit better, maybe he has to take another page out of James Harden's book and figure out ways to get to the line. Then he'll start shooting free throws at a higher clip, which will in turn make him make them at a higher percentage. But I think that's all stuff that's kind of like nitpicking. I think D'Angelo Russell having a season, and I think he should be happy where he's at right now.
Yeah, and definitely if D'Lo had Dinwiddie's first step, then he could be potentially be a top 15, 20 player in the league.
You could merge those two guys together. We'd probably have an all-star starter right now, but NBA polymerization is not a real life thing. So
one day
we'll throw out the Yu-Gi-Oh card and just see if it works. If not, then at least we tried.
Right.
Christian, question for you. You know, there's been so much good work and good press about Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson, the guys kind of the architects of this Nets team. Would you consider those guys to be a top 10 GM and coach duo at this point? Because it seems like besides the Allen Crabbe trade, they're kind of batting 1,000.
Yeah. When you think about it, they tried to do a couple of these reclamation projects. That's how they got D'Angelo Russell. They gave up Brook Lopez. Obviously, they gave up a chance of getting Kyle Kuzma. But when you get Jared Allen and you get D'Angelo Russell and you take a chance on that guy and he develops into what he is right now, that is an amazing, that in itself, when you look at the season D'Angelo Russell's having, that's amazing. You look at the season Spencer Dinwiddie's having, they got Rodions Kurucs at, what was that, pick number 40. We really still haven't seen Jalen Musa, and I think he's going to be a stud. He reminds me of some guy that's going to come off the bench as a sixth man and go off for 20 to 22 points, not per
game. His suit game on the bench is on point.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah, but he's a flamethrower, and I really can't wait for him to be healthy, because a lot of guys are talking like he doesn't exist. And it's like, no, not only do we have Caris LeVert that's out, we got Musa that's out. I would say one thing that they missed on, they took a swing on Big Ja and they traded away Trevor Booker. And I was a little upset about that, because Trevor Booker was my guy. And he was really, he's just a motor. You know, he doesn't stop. But when you look at those type of guys, they tried to do Kevin Faried, that didn't work out. Those type of guys are kind of like, they're not really as valuable if they can't stretch the floor and shoot threes for you nowadays, which is crazy, because it's like, dang, these are guys that are pretty valuable. But I digress. Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson, man, they are really doing an amazing job. When you look at where they came from with no picks and kind of had to manufacture talent out of thin air, and we had those dark days, and now you're seeing this team come out of the earth. And I hate to drag the Knicks, but you're looking at this team come from the
drag bottom. Away.
You're looking at the Knicks kind of taper, and they haven't done anything. And it's kind of disappointing. But no, I think that that Kenny Atkinson, I can't really, let me think, top 10, I would have to say so. You know, man, you think about, you know, obviously Pop and R.C. Buford in San Antonio, they always do a good job. Even though they had to trade Kawhi Leonard, you look at where they are now, they're still there. Obviously what they're doing in Golden State. Yeah, you know, Bud and I forget who the GM, I think his name is John Horst up in Milwaukee. They're obviously doing a fantastic job. The guys in Toronto, Nick Nurse, and Masai Ujiri is always doing an amazing job in Toronto. Look at just the talent that they have in there. Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens, obviously, those guys are probably at the top of the list. After that, you have to consider Kenny Atkinson and Sean Marks. You know, the job that they've done, this Brooklyn team, I don't think anyone thought they'd be, what are they, 25 and 23 right now? I don't think anybody thought they'd be where they are right now. And except for the players, I was talking to those guys in the offseason. I was like, hey, I'm not even the offseason. I was talking to those guys yesterday. I was like, hey, when you guys were 8 and 18, you know, did you think that you guys would be able to turn this around? Damari looks at me and goes, yeah, man, we worked really hard. You know, we knew in this season at the beginning of the year that we had higher expectations than 8 and 18, and then we kind of just stepped up to the plate. So that's a credit to Sean Marks for setting up that type of environment that really fosters a winning culture, and for Kenny Atkinson for developing these guys and putting them all in position to, it's a cliche statement, but putting them in position to succeed. Like, all these guys are really, really having the best seasons of their life, and it's amazing to watch, and it's amazing to see that turn into wins.
For sure. Christian, you mentioned the Knicks there. I am a Knicks fan. Sorry to break our listeners' hearts, though I love this Nets team. Do you think that the Knicks will ever kind of fade back and the Nets will take over the town? Or do you think it's more like a Lakers-Clippers thing where no matter how good the lesser team is, they're kind of always in the shadow of their big brother?
I think it is a big brother, little brother type thing, because when you think about it, the Nets did start in New Jersey, you know, and they are still fresh in Brooklyn, and the Knicks have a whole bunch of history. The Knicks have the city. The Knicks have a fan base that the Nets probably just won't ever get, to be honest. It's just the electricity of that building and how their reach extends into different parts of Brooklyn and Queens and the Bronx and Harlem and all over the place. I think that if that were to change, one, we'd probably have to get Kevin Durant this year, if that was supposed to change. And two, we'd have to get Brooklyn-born, like, superstars at these games. Like, Jay-Z would have to be there all the time. We'd have to have rappers. We'd have to have athletes from Brooklyn coming back to kind of build that type of rivalry. To be honest, as much as the Knicks struggle, they are still the number one team in New York, just from ticket sales, just from everything that is around that team, and just the history. You know, yeah, they're at the Mecca. You know what I'm saying? It is Madison Square Garden, the most famous arena in the world. You know, we get that. But they have a losing product on the floor right now. And at the end of the day, wins and losses are what it boiled down to. So it is interesting. It's an interesting dynamic. I do think that the more popular team will always be the Knicks, just because of history and location. But the Clippers are winning right now, and the Nets are winning right now. So it's kind of like a takeover right now by the Liverpool.
An uprising, for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely an uprising.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned kind of that mega free agent. It would take that kind of player coming to Brooklyn. I mean, what do you see as being the probability of that happening? Because looking at this Nets team, the thing they need the most, I'd say, is kind of a stretch floor that can also provide that weak side rim protection. And right, you look at the Hall of Fame version of that player, like top 10 all time, that's Kevin Durant. So not only would he fit a need, but he'd provide that star power. I mean, do you see it as likely that Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler, Kyrie Irving, any of these guys want to come to the Nets? Because I feel like when Stephen A is talking about it, he's usually so far behind the curve, right, that if he recognizes the Nets could be a good option, you know, that guys in KD's camp and Jimmy Butler's camp, they've known about it for a long time.
Yeah, you know, and I hate playing the social media game, like, oh, this guy liked this picture that references this team, so he's definitely going there. But Kevin Durant liked a picture of Devin Booker shouting out D'Angelo Russell, I believe. It was some type of picture on Instagram that had to deal with D'Angelo Russell, and Kevin Durant liked it. I don't know if that means he's coming. I don't even know if that means Brooklyn's on his radar. But if it is, that would be the you know what I'm saying, that's the best case scenario. Get Kevin Durant, plug him into the four. Then you've got D'Angelo Russell, Joe Harris, Caris LeVert, Kevin Durant, Jared Allen. That's scary. Other than that, you know, you look at a guy like Kawhi. I like to think of this free agency as, okay, the Nets are going to miss on Kevin Durant and miss on Kawhi Leonard. They're going to miss on Jimmy Butler. Right. So now who else is available that you can plug into that spot? That starts right there with Tobias Harris. You plug Tobias Harris in right at that four spot. He's a little slimmer for that four spot. So I don't know how he's going to do with battling some of those bigger fours. But the Nets play a speed where they're spacing the guys out. You know, their four is not down low. Their four is out. And he could take a lot of these fours off the dribble. And he's a versatile defender. So I like that. I think that worst case scenario, if the Nets strike out on a lot of these guys, you could look at Paul Millsap. He's going to be a free agent. I think that's a decent name. He's a vet. He's proven. He's injury. He had his injuries over the last few seasons. But I feel like the Nuggets are going to turn down his $30 million team option, and that'll make him a free agent. And then that's a guy you can plug in. He can defend so many different positions. He's a guy who can pass out that four spot. And worst case scenario, Nets miss on everybody. You know, go get a guy like Nikola Mirotic, who's lighting it up in New Orleans, who can spread the floor, who can make plays off the dribble. He's not the best weak side defender, like you mentioned, but he's a talent, and he's going to spread that floor out. When you look at what we've had at that four spot, we've had guys like Rondé there. Love Rondé, but his inability to shoot threes is just it's heartbreaking for this team. And I'm not so sure how they can continue to play with it. It's tough because he's not even really getting too many consistent big minutes anymore. And he's a really cool dude, but the NBA has moved to a place where if you can't shoot that three, your value is tanking, and it's tanking fast. And that's the case with Rondé. I think the Nets, and you can see the flip side of that coin with a guy like Jared Dudley, who can stretch the floor and who is getting serious minutes at that four spot. Mm-hmm. And now he was getting serious minutes at that four spot because he can stretch the floor and put it on the floor. I think the Nets are going to go for somebody like that. They're going to try to get a star at that forward position. If not, you know, I could also see them trying to go for a star at that too. If they get a guy like Chris Middleton and plug him in on the wing as well, you know, they have a lot of different options. They have a lot of different ways they can go. I think it boils down to who wants to come to Brooklyn. And right now, I think a lot of people are looking at this team like, hey, I can go there, I can get better, and we can win games, and I can get paid. Why not? And I'm in Brooklyn. Brooklyn is one of the best cities in the world. I don't know about you guys, but I love it. I grew up here. I'm born and raised. I'm not going nowhere. So I can see people wanting to officially come here. I'm sorry if I went over on my spiel right there.
But. Nah, that's good. I think there are options at the four position. I mean, worst case, we try to call up Teletovic and see if he's down to come back to the NBA and see if he can just gun up some threes, because he would be perfect on this new Nets team. He was kind of miscast in that Lionel Hollins, Jason Kidd days. But yeah, you mentioned KD liking that Devin Booker photo. We know that he's good friends with Caris LeVert. People call LeVert baby Durant. Now you get real Durant, and you got the two generations of Durants.
Let me tell you, if Durant comes to Brooklyn, all hell is going to break loose here, man. You're going to see more. I don't know if you guys go to Nets games often, but oftentimes there's more of the opposing team's fans that mm-hmm. are actually in Barclays than Nets fans. If the Nets get Kevin Durant, that's going to change in a heartbeat. And I feel like Kevin Durant's been a guy who kind of doesn't really have his own, you know, especially after he made that wild move to leave the Thunder and go to the Warriors. You know, he hasn't really had his own core fan base. You know, it's been Warriors fans that support him, and everybody else kind of hates him. You know, Brooklyn is a place where you can come, and I guess this is kind of my version of a sales pitch to Kevin Durant. You know, Brooklyn is a place where you can come and you can really kind of restart, and he's restarting on a playoff team that needs his specific skill set. So it'd be a really, really good fit. If he's not looking for the big market. And if you look at what Brooklyn has, and you look at what the Knicks have, and the Knicks obviously have Kristaps Porzingis, who's going to come back from injury and have this pick. And if they get Zion, or if they get Ja Morant, who I think is really good, if they get him, you know, it's a different team. But the Knicks are just so far behind right now. You know, the Nets are in the playoffs, and they have a proven track record of improving every year and of developing talent and of making players their best selves. You look at what happened with D'Angelo Russell. What happens if you bring Kevin Durant and put him in Kenny Atkins' system? He's going for 30 every night. So it would be a fun thing to see if Kevin Durant indeed chooses the Nets, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does.
Yeah, it's scary to think. I mean, seeing what, like you said, like Kenny Atkinson has done for guys like D'Angelo Russell or Joe Harris, like, if he can make those guys improve as much as he has, like, right, the ceiling could be limitless for Durant. Just speaking of those young guys, though, like D'Angelo Russell, Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, and the Knicks, of course, have Porzingis and now Kevin Knox. out of those kind of young guys in New York, who would you most want to build around if you were a GM or a coach?
I mean, that's tough. I'm always going to be very, very high on KP, just because, you know, he's they didn't start calling people unicorns until he came around. You know, he is an incredible, incredible talent who just happened to tear his ACL. You know, it sucks. I wish him a healthy recovery. He looks good. You know, he looks like he's sprinting and doing runs, and you know, he has range out to 35 feet comfortably. This guy is 7'3". He's a shot blocker. He's a dunker. You know, he's something that we really hadn't seen in a while since maybe Dirk. Maybe he was kind of, I think some people were saying he was the second coming of Dirk, you know, and then he has that injury. That's still someone I would build around. So if I had to power rank all these guys, I'd probably put Porzingis, a healthy Kristaps Porzingis, I'd put in number one. Because imagine if he was healthy playing this season. He's probably taking a step in his game. He's probably averaging somewhere flirting with 20 and 10, two blocks, shooting 40% from three. That's kind of what you want in this NBA. After that, it's tough. It's a toss up there between D'Angelo Russell and Caris LeVert. Sure, Caris was on a tear before he went down with that dislocated foot. Man, that was brutal. And then you have Spencer Dinwiddie come. He had that surge where he couldn't. He was just hot. And Spencer's always someone who, in crunch time, he just seems to come up big. It's amazing. And then D'Angelo Russell goes on this tear. All these guys, I kind of want to see consistency from them. You know, D'Angelo Russell's been consistent to this point. Can he continue this hot streak? Caris LeVert was unstoppable for the first God knows how many games, 25, 24, 20, and then he gets hurt. Can he come back? And when he comes back, how consistent can he be? Can he be the same person? I believe so, but we have to see it. I'm really high on Kevin Knox as well. I love Kevin Knox's game. At first, I thought, okay, this is going to be a 3-and-D guy. You know, he's going to be posted up in the corner shooting threes. No, no, no. This guy's a lot more than that. And I think him and Porzingis are going to be a really good combo. So if I had to power rank those guys, I'd go Porzingis. Russell, because he's healthy, and you have to – it's a what can you do for me now? And right now, Caris is hurt. So until Caris comes back, he's probably going to get moved below that. So I would go Porzingis, Russell, Knox, LeVert. Did you have anybody else on that list right now? Or was it just those four?
I think those four. I think – I mean, Jared Allen obviously has a lot of potential, but it's tough –
yeah,
it's tough to build around a center in the current NBA. And I think your point about consistency, sorry, was a really good one. Just because we've seen flops from Dinwiddie, from Russell, from LeVert for like maybe a month at a time. Like D'Lo the last month's averaging like 24 and 7.
Can this happen for a stretch of time? You know, can this happen for an entire season? Can you show me growth from this? Like, we see D'Angelo Russell here. Okay, if he's here this season, what can you show me next season? And I guess it's not fair because I'm also comparing him against a player who's hurt and who hasn't showed us anything this year. But Porzingis showed us enough last year for us to understand that he's not to be messed with. Jared Allen, I really, really like, and he's shooting corner threes, which is amazing. He's like Clint Capella, but he can stretch the floor to the corner. I think that he's going to end up being really good. The Nets have a lot of really, really good young players. It's so unfair to the rest of the league. Like,
they're super deep.
Yeah, these guys do a really good job, and they're going to keep developing their talent. And this is obviously going to pose a problem in the future because you can't keep everybody. You have to pay people, so it's going to get a little tricky that way. But I think they've got enough choices and they've got enough options to pick who they want. I think you're going to have to put Rodion Skouroukis in that category. I was talking to him yesterday. He was actually he didn't know he was getting the start until I think he was there. The team was practicing one day and he just walks up to the paper or to the whiteboard and he sees his name starting on the board. He's like, oh, snap, I'm starting. So it was just amazing that that's how he found out he was starting. You just see his strides from when he was playing in preseason to where he's at now. He's a complete player and he's all. Mm-hmm. Going to continue getting better. The Nets have a lot of really good young players, and it's amazing the job. This is why that they are, you can consider Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson a top five, top six GM coach duo because of A, their talent evaluation, and B, talent development. When you can do those two things in tandem, you can't be stopped.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good point with Kurtz. I mean, if it was kind of looking at it from a value standpoint, just with his contract, he could be definitely up there with those guys. And, you know, yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of Knicks fans out there. If, I don't know why they'd be listening to this podcast. They're probably screaming at us saying, why not Kornet and Dotson? But, you know, maybe not all Knicks fans are delusional. But I definitely think when you look at, obviously, the one and two pieces for the Knicks are definitely probably have higher upside than the Nets. But right. When you go through kind of 3 through 8 of the younger guys on the roster, the Nets just blow them out of the water.
For sure, for sure. I do enjoy Damian Dotson. He has as pure a shooting stroke as I've seen. Love that guy. And Luke Kornet is a 3-and-D center, which is also pretty fun to watch. This is a guy who could hit threes and block shots. Love that. But in terms of like you said, those rest of those guys, you know, Porzingis has a very high upside. You look at LeVert, Russell, Kurucs, Allen. You could throw Dinwiddie in that equation. You could throw a lot of different guys in that equation. And the Nets just have a deep pool of talent. It's just a matter of finding what works, adding a little sprinkle of all-star talent in there and putting them on the floor and seeing how it works.
Christian, what's your prediction for this rest of this Nets season? Where do you think they're going to end up from a seed perspective? And then a possibility for a first series playoff win? What do you think?
I think that there is a pretty wide gap between seed number 6 and number 5. So I think 6 is where the Nets kind of top out and 8 is where they bottom out. I don't see them going on a massive losing streak unless, you know, Karras comes back and then they don't all of a sudden don't know how to share the ball and things go haywire out of there. I don't see that happening. I think that they're pretty solid right now at number 6. I think Washington is going to make a playoff run. I think the message was out. I think it was last season when they went on that tear without John Wall and they went on a run. I think they're doing it again now. I think they realize, okay, we're better when one person is not dominating the ball the entire game. Yeah, you see where the NBA is going. So I think the Wizards are going to sneak into the playoff picture. I think the Nets are going to have to continue winning games. They're 17-5 in their last 22. They're going to have to win some games because that East race from 6 to what is that? Seed number 6 to 10 or 11? That's you lose 3 games and you're questioning whether you're going to make the playoffs anymore. So I think that's the value of having vets like Damari Carroll, like Jared Dudley, guys who have been there and done that, who can kind of keep these guys consistent. I don't think they're going to let them lose that many games. And Kenny Atkinson was talking about not too long ago, they were down, I think, 5 at the half. To Sacramento, and he said, you know, he didn't really need to say much to them because they had that confidence that they had beaten so many teams before that are better, that you know, they weren't worried about that, and that's what it's going to take to finish it up. Just being calm, understanding that they have won these games before and they can continue winning them. And I think the Nets are gonna break this playoff drought this year. And it's amazing to watch where they've come from to where they are now. It's really fun. You know, and guys who have, there's some guys on Twitter who say, oh, the Nets are still the laughing stock of the league. I'm like, okay, you're clearly not watching any basketball because this team is in the playoffs and they've probably beaten your team at least once this year.
They're just staring at Twitter.
Right, right.
Yeah, there's a lot of uneducated, just like eggs out there on Twitter. And yeah, you know, Christian, I know you're a vegan. For me, this Nets team is kind of like being a vegan in that all the ingredients on their own, you know, they're not the most inspiring, but when you put them together and eventually it blends in and it mixes, you have a delicious meal.
Right.
It's healthy. It's sustainable.
I am vegan for January. I promise you, February 1st, I'm going to my favorite Jamaican restaurant. I'm getting me some oxtails and some curry goat. It's going down. It has to happen.
Tell KD about that restaurant. Maybe it'll make him come here. Anything we can get to have a competitive advantage.
I will do my civic duty. And I'll do whatever I can to get a beer.
Yeah, he goes from Steph Curry to Jamaican Curry.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Christian, what do you have to plug before we wrap up here?
Sheesh, I can plug myself. You can find me on Twitter, Christian Winfield, at Chris Blash. That's KRISPLASHED. Just search my name, Christian Winfield. It'll pop up, Christian with a K. I'm on SBNation.com. You can find my work there. Sometimes I'm on Nets Daily. If you're a Nets fan, you probably know about Nets Daily's work. So sometimes some of my work doesn't end up on SB Nation because we do more national stuff there. So I have smaller, like I broke down D'Angelo Russell's free agency in a piece for SBNation.com. And then I broke down all the numbers behind D'Angelo Russell's free agency for Nets Daily. So those smaller little things that Nets fans might be interested in, you can find a lot of that on Nets Daily. Yeah, so those are really the two places to find me. I also tweet out pictures of stuff I cook. If you're into food and beautiful food at that, follow me on Twitter. And yeah, that's the extent of my plug-in. That's where you can find me.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for joining us. Christian does great work, guys. So definitely check him out. One of the few true Nets fans on the national NBA circuit, along with our boy John Schumann. So always good to talk Nets with someone that's very passionate about it.
You know what's funny? I started out as a Knicks fan, right? When I was younger, I was a Knicks fan because that was the team I was around. And then when you start covering the two teams and you see how one team is moving, and you see how another team is, and you see kind of how one team is kind of cultivating their players, and you see the environment they're building, and you see the other team and they're kind of stagnant for a while, and you see how they treat Carmelo on the, you know, all those things. And it's just like, man, how can you not you know, be a fan of just solid operation, you know, and think the Knicks are finally getting their things together. At least it seems like it is. I hope that that Scott Perry and Steve Mills can turn that around. But when you look at how the Nets have started from the ground up and then built this culture, how could you not be a fan of what they're doing? You know, it's amazing to me. And it's been a pleasure to cover that team. They have some really big things in store.
Was the specific turning point for you kind of when Melo was a Knick?
That's a good question. It was probably the way Phil Jackson handled that. I think the whole Phil Jackson thing was a mess. They had coaches in and coaches out. I think everyone around that point was just fed up with them. And I was a fan of the Scott Perry hire. I think that was a really smart move, and I like what he does. But the Knicks are going to have to go through the same process that the Nets went through, because the Nets went through the same process the Sixers went through. Everybody that rebuilds has to go through that. They got to eat dirt for a little while, you know, and it's humbling. And the Knicks have had to be humbled, and they've been humbled for quite a few years now. So I think they're going to turn around. They're going to draft some people this year, hopefully. I don't necessarily know how I like Zion. I'm not sure how Zion and Porzingis fit next to each other. You know, I think in this league you need speed, obviously, but you need shooters. I think his name is Ja Morant. I watched him play at a Murray State game. That boy can ball. I like him a lot. I think he's the type of guy that the Knicks should have. The Knicks, you need a point guard in this league. You need a dynamic point guard, and I think that's the guy they should get. I'm not saying Zion won't pan out in this league. I know he's going to be fantastic, but I think for the Knicks, they need that point guard position solidified for the next 15 years. And if they're not going to get a guy like Kyrie or Kemba Walker, they need to draft one right now.
For sure, and I think that Knicks fans maybe thought Frank Ntilikina could be that type of guy, but he's definitely much more defensively oriented. And I think Ja Morant, like you said, he's super explosive. Just from the couple clips I've seen, he looks a little Westbrookian out there. Yeah, so that would definitely be.
He can shoot
huge.
That thing too, and he can pass. I'm a big fan of his game. The Knicks could have had Donovan Mitchell. They could have had Dennis Smith Jr., and they went with Frank Ntilikina. Even Malik Monk now is taking steps in the right direction. They went with a guy who really can't shoot, and you can't blame Frank, because Frank didn't ask to be anywhere. They picked him, and it's kind of unfortunate. They drafted somebody for a specific triangle system that they were not going to be running anymore. And that draft is one that they can look back and say they really messed that up, because they got Porzingis right, even though I think that was a Steve Mills pick and not necessarily a Phil Jackson pick. Frank Ntilikina, it stunk of Phil Jackson, and unfortunately it hasn't panned out.
It hasn't, but the Nets definitely have been able to capitalize on their pick. So I'm interested to see what they do this year with their own pick, even if it's not super high. Like, it seems like it'll be in the mid-teens, but still.
Yeah, they've got three picks that could potentially be rotation players. They've got their own, they've got Demers, and they've got New York's second-round pick, and that pick is probably going to be somewhere between 32 and 36. So that's basically a first-round pick, a late first-round pick on its own. I think they're going to end up trading some of those picks, because you look at a team like Boston, and that's not to say having too much talent is a problem, but sometimes it can be. They've got so many different guys, and Boston has another four first-round picks in this year's draft, so you're going to add more people, more talent to this, and it's just not. I think they're going to end up trading. Probably going to attach one of those picks. I would guess Denver's pick in an Allen Crabb trade, because that's the elephant in the room, is that for them to sign a max player, they have to either renounce D'Angelo Russell or sign him to a smaller contract or trade Allen Crabb and get the other 2 years. We'll get the last year up that contract, and I think everyone knows what the option is that's better there. So I think they're probably going to attach one of those picks to that type of trade. Another one they're probably going to. I don't know, man. I feel like that's something that Sean Marks and them can work out. But their talent evaluation staff has always been good, and they can figure that stuff out. It's never an issue to have too much talent.
For sure, for sure. And like you said, I think that Allen Crabb trade would be a great move, and I think Nets fans would love that. I think they've kind of grown tired of Allen Crabb. I know Josh has, and just.
I like that he's not playing.
Sure, yeah. It's your favorite season from him so far.
Oh, man, I hope he. I wish him health. You know, I hate seeing a guy that's hurt, and I wish him, you know, a good shooting season, because he was shooting pretty well. I think the 3 or 4 games before he got hurt, he was probably averaging 17 points or so. So I hope he gets healthy, and then from there, let people make their judgments where they may.
Yeah, I think he could fit well on a team like, I don't know, Houston or someone. But I feel like just with him on the Nets now, even though there is a great player development culture, it just like with the relationship he has with the fan base, people have already turned on him. So it's hard for him to recover based on that.
I think the deal that makes sense there is sending Crabb to Sacramento and probably Shumpert back or any. They have a couple expiring contracts. They have Iman Shumpert. They have Kostas Koufos. They have Zach Randolph. I think Shumpert is the one you go for. I think that, you know, if it's me, I'm trying to package, who is this? Allen Crabbe, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, and whatever the better of their pick and Denver's pick is, which would probably be their pick. So it'll be Crabbe, Hollis-Jefferson, and Brooklyn's pick to Sacramento for Iman Shumpert and Justin Jackson. I don't think the Kings are going to give up Justin Jackson just because he's talented, but that kid would fit so well in the system here. So that's a trade that I think that would make a lot of sense. I don't think Sacramento's going to bite on it, though.
That's interesting. Yeah. That would almost be like just using the Nets pick to take Justin Jackson. Like, if you think he's that good, it's almost like a second draft where you kind of get that talent late, like they did with D'Angelo Russell, where a team's kind of passing on a guy and then you're scooping him up.
Exactly. So we'll see. I'm sure Sean Marks is cooking something up, and they can also trade Crabbe on draft day. So I'm sure they'll figure something out.
For sure. For sure. Josh, you have anything else?
Nah, I mean, I think that we covered a lot. Definitely.
I could do this all day.
Yeah.
Dude, all night. We could go forever.
Quickly, I was watching Sacramento play yesterday, and also Bielitsa would fit well on this Nets team. Yeah. I mean, he barely played yesterday. I think Jaeger was just so disgusted that he got beat off the dribble by Kurtz like twice in a row. But yeah, he would be someone that if the Kings are sour on, would be a nice fit on the Nets.
No, for sure, for sure. Anyone who can stretch the floor out, who's a decent passer, you know, anyone who could do more than one thing, and one of those things includes shooting the ball, can fit in. I would say almost anywhere, but especially here in Brooklyn, just because like guys like that are so important, you know. And especially if you can shoot the ball, if you can spread the floor out for D'Angelo Russell and Spencer Dinwiddie to take the ball off the floor, if you can set screens and pop off those screens, I think that's something that the Nets are missing. They don't have like a pick and pop guy, and if they get one of those at the four spot, that's an issue. That's why I think back to Mirotić. You get Mirotić on the floor, even though he I don't think the Nets want anybody who can't defend. You know, and that's the biggest area for him. But you had a guy like Mirotić who can really, he's a shooter. He can put up 30 on you in a heartbeat. That's a guy who I would love for them to have. But on that, back to Bielitsa, another guy like that. You know, anyone who can spread the four at that four spot and can make decent passes is a guy that can fit in.
Yep, absolutely. And I think the Nets are going to be looking at those guys both in trades and free agency and the draft as well. Christian, we're going to wrap up here. Thank you so much for your time. Would love to have you on later in the season. Hopefully, we'll all be in as good of a mood as we are now talking about the Brooklyn Nets.
Hey, man, if the Nets make the playoffs, we can do an emergency podcast at midnight of that night, and we'll be good to go. I'm down.
100%. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Christian. Guys. Yeah, man. Have a good night. Stay warm.
So that was our interview with Christian Winfield. Marcus, what a great guy.
He's great. He's super charismatic. Big Christian fan. Shouts to him.
Yep. We will definitely have him on in the future. And we're going to try to get more guests from you guys and really appreciate you sticking with us. But Christian did a great job on the pod. Follow us at Locked On Nets on Twitter. We are doing a lot more listener questions. So tweet at us. You can also email us at netspodcast@gmail.com. Follow Marcus at Marcus Barahal. I am at JMBass_. Subscribe to the podcast, rate us, hopefully 5 stars, review us. Love to hear what you guys are hearing, are thinking about what we're doing, and continue to make us strive for greatness and strive for that championship of podcasting like the Nets are striving for, the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Marcus will be back, I think, with a solo pod later this week, and then we'll reunite with co-host Gavin this weekend, and that will be the next couple podcasts you'll be hearing in your ears. But until then, be well.
Bye.